Margaret, I'd like to start this interview of your experiences overseas by asking you if you will give us some biographical data on yourself. So, sort of a word like banana, I don't know whether to say data or data. However, this, by the way, is Dorothy M. Harrison, and I am interviewing Margaret Lyons. And you spell your last name
Lyon.
Lyon, just no S on there. Very good, Margaret Lyons. So tell us a little biographical background so that we'll have something to build on.
When I went overseas to teach school, I was 26 years old. I had been a teacher in the Louisville City Schools. Before that, I had taught 3 years in the parochial schools. I had gotten my BS in education from Spalding College, and I also had lots of credits in education. So by the time I went over, I had a standard teaching certificate and about 6 years' experience.
Good. In other words, you are a Kentuckian, a Louisvillian born and bred, or is this
No,
not your
I
home
was,
community?
my mother and father are both from Loretta, Kentucky, but I was actually born in Atlanta, and then we returned to Kentucky when I was 13. I had gone to high school at St. Catharines in Springfield, Kentucky, for the most part. So then,
You feel yourself a Kentuckian.
right, I do, because my parents are from here, and most of my life has been
Been
spent in
spent here in
Kentucky.
Kentucky. I should mention that this is the Louisville unit of the Women's Overseas Service League that is making this report. Very good, and that does give us some background. And now, my first question is, what branch of service did you serve?
Okay. I was actually a civilian worker for the Department of the Army. And I was employed out of Washington, D.C. And I was employed here in Louisville to go overseas and to teach in Verdun, France. And so I was a third grade teacher.
That was a historic site to be teaching in. That was a terrible World War I battlefield.
It
Very.
was a very interesting place. The whole area was interesting.
Now, how long did you were you attached as a civilian to the Department of the Army?
I taught the 1 year in Verdun. I stayed there from September through
September of what year?
September of 56 through August of 57. And then I went down to Verona, Italy. And I was there 1 year. I was there from August to July. Came home then on July the 4th, 1958.
Very good. And what influenced you to volunteer?
I had wanted to travel. I always wanted to travel. And I think I finished college because I had in mind to be an air stewardess. And then when I finished, I got into teaching, and when this opportunity came up, I applied. I had applied the year before, and that would have been in 1955. And because they had closed all the schools in Austria, there were a lot of surplus teachers in Europe, and so I didn't get my job until 1956.
What did you do prior to your service overseas?
Prior to my service, I was an elementary school teacher here in Louisville. I had taught at Englehart and also down at Roosevelt in the West End.
May I congratulate you on surviving Roosevelt? I happen to know that school.
Well, Roosevelt back in those days was not exactly like Roosevelt is today. So it was a nice experience. It was for me. I had come from an affluent neighborhood of Ottoman Park and had gone. I had taught in Ottoman Park for 2 years, and so when I switched down to Roosevelt, of course, it was quite a different situation.
Actually, I felt that the staff there was very dedicated when I saw it, but I
Yes,
should,
they
for
were.
the benefit of those who are listening to this tape, explain that Roosevelt High School, or Roosevelt School, rather, was, if I believe not incorrect, was built in the Civil War era.
Right, it
And it
was.
was a very antique building, and it seemed somehow difficult to imagine getting anything down, the noise in the halls, the size of the rooms, and the decrepit neighborhood was rather discouraging for just someone coming in. But as I say, I think the staff is very dedicated to teaching. All right, now what did you actually do in your service overseas? Did you also teach the third grade there?
I taught the third grade. I had we lived about 4 miles away in at the officers' quarters, and then every day we would drive in our car down to the base, and my classroom was one part of a three-part Quonset hut. And I had the furnace in my room. So,
That was fun.
it was actually a round Quonset hut. And so the floors were concrete, and the playground was a mixture of gravel and sand.
I
It was
rather
quite
imagine there are a
interesting.
number of skinned knees in that
It was an interesting
area.
experience.
The next question. Now, this Quonset hut was in Verdun.
The Quonset hut was on the American Army base there in Verdun.
Verdun, right. This next question seems non-applicable in your case. Did you expect this experience to prepare you for a career? Obviously, you were prepared for a career before you went, so therefore, you just did what you already were familiar with doing on the way.
Right, I did.
And what was your pay?
My pay, the best I remember, was maybe $3,200 a year. And this included housing and any kind of medical expense. And so actually,
You were able to save almost
I
all of
was
it, too.
actually able to realize more money than I was realizing here at home.
That's very interesting. That was a good, that's pretty good pay in those days. And remember that we thought we were rich on 6,000 a year at that particular stage. Here's the next question on this list is, were you given equal opportunities for service and education? I think that is probably an in question. In other words, somebody who was a whack or a wave. So I think
I had equal status with the men.
with the men, right. You've already told us a little bit about your housing in Verdun, that you were housed in officers' quarters. Was that BOQ, the base officers' quarters?
It was a BOQ, and it consisted of about four buildings in a square with a parking lot in the middle. And there were women assigned to one room with bathing facilities in the middle. And so this was shared by another woman. For instance, what I'm trying to say is there was a woman on the other side, and we shared a bath. We had a
Bathroom.
common bath.
You were living in luxury. We were lucky we had a
We had our breakfast and our dinner over at the officers' club with all the people that lived there at the compound.
Were all your teachers American?
All the teachers were American, right?
And you were teaching dependent children.
We were teaching dependent children, and they, of course, were an interesting group. One child had a German mother, and he worked in the fields with the French farmers, and they did not live on the base. And he spoke three languages. He was 10 years old. I had one child that was the son of a Puerto Rican person that was in the army, and he spoke no English. And so on my lunch hour, I did teach him to speak English, which was an interesting experience. And you just had to figure this out by yourself. And so I got a Spanish to English dictionary, and we started with the first grade book. I had the general's son in my class. And
I think it was a totally democratic group then.
Oh, absolutely. And then we had one young lady that came to the base every day, and she taught French to the children on the base too. There was a high school, and some of the high school teachers lived in our BOQ. Altogether, the best I remember, there were 10,000 men attached to this particular base, and many of them lived out in the countryside. One doctor, Dr. Kuhn, was from Louisville, and he lived across the street in the French housing.
That is not by any chance a dentist.
No, I think he's a plastic surgeon. And let's see, as I mentioned previously, across the hall from me was Phyllis Cravata, whom I had gone to college with. And so it was quite interesting when you had traveled 4,000 miles and you walk into the BOQ on Sunday morning, and a girl comes up and says, "Maggie." Oh, it was. It was. It was quite interesting.
Now, what about your housing in Verona?
I would like to say that the teachers that I was with were from all over the United States. There were teachers from California, and there was a girl from Texas. One of my best girlfriends was from St. Louis. Another girl was from Denver, Colorado. So it was a very interesting experience from that standpoint also. Verona was different. Verona was a different type of base. It was part of the Air Command. It was connected with the Army. It was a much smaller base. We had two elementary schools there. The high school people went down to Vicenza to high school. And some of them went to a boarding school in Germany. The one school where I was when I first got there was a brand new school they had built out of town, and the children were bused in there. Then later on, because of the increased enrollment, we were switched to another school that was in town. And the first place we lived was an old Italian hotel. And that was one of my first experiences with rats. And, of course, I didn't really know that there were rats all over Europe. And so, anyway, whenever anyone would leave the door open to the cellar, the rats would come up in the kitchen. Huh. And if you were walking by the canal, you would see these rats that were almost the size of kitty cats. So that in itself was interesting. We lived there, I think, for about 4 or 5 months. And the place was musty, and the furnace never did quite work. There were quite a few service-connected people, and quite a few people from Verona that would come in and inspect the furnace from time to time.
But it
never really worked. And so then later on in the middle of the year, we were transferred over to a new house. And it was just a very large house. In my room, my one friend, Ray, that was from California, she and I shared single beds in this one room, and the other teachers were accommodated in much the same manner, and there was one central area for bathing.
Very good. And of course, you've got medical attention.
Yes,
It's
we
part of
did.
your salary. And we know that it was usually quite good. Did you wear a uniform at all?
No, we did not wear a uniform.
Where did you eat? You always ate with the medic with the Army unit or that you were with or with the Air Force unit you were with?
Now, when we moved down to Italy, we would have to go out to the base if we wanted to have dinner there at the base, and we usually just arranged to have a dinner there in town. We did have a hot meal that was brought in from the base, and so we did get one hot meal a day. For the most part, I think we just ate in some of the local restaurants or
Restaurant. You
fixed
paid for
up.
that
Yes,
yourself,
we
of
did.
course, right. But the other was free.
Correct.
Right.
Well, no, actually, we paid every time we went to dinner.
You paid when you went to
The
dinner
best
with
I
the
remember,
Army?
we did. I think
Oh,
so.
that is interesting.
I think. I can't really be sure, but it did seem like that we did.
Very good. Well, of course, you were civilian, so that made a difference in the way you would be treated, I would think. Now, we come to one of the more interesting questions that what you've already actually told us what one of your memorable experiences was trying to teach this young Puerto Rican English, but they're asking for any other memorable experiences that you may have had in the course of
It
your
was
teaching career.
the whole experience was memorable. I think coming over tonight, I remembered that when we were in Verdun, we were just in a little compound out in the field, and the place was patrolled at night by Polish people, and the story was that they had come out of Poland. And if they served the Americans for 5 years or so, they were given their citizenship. And so we never really got to know any of them, but there was always a Polish guard that walked back and forth in the compound. That was rather interesting. I remember the Algerians were there in Verdun, and you would very often see them. In fact, there was a base there not too far from us where the Algerians were, and of course they were easy to spot because of their colorful uniforms, and that was interesting.
That's very interesting indeed about the Polish, that they were told they could have citizenship if they served
But they lived there in
5 years. Did you have any visits from any famous people or outstanding
No, not
figures at
while we
that
were
time?
there. I wouldn't think so. I don't remember anyone coming to the base that was particularly memorable. The same
Most
in
of your,
Italy.
yes, your challenges were almost all, you all, almost all your challenges were from your students.
There were a few challenges from the teaching. For the most part, though, it was very similar to
The
teaching here
challenges
in
you would
Hull,
get here.
right? I think just the one thing that really struck me was the fact that you worked and lived with the same people on a 24-hour-a-day basis, which it took a bit of getting used to. And Verdun, you had so many more civilian employees there, and so it was a more comfortable situation perhaps than going down to Italy, where there were about 13 of us ladies, and we actually lived together on a 24-hour basis, and there was quite a range in age. It really wasn't a problem exactly. and we were all friends. It was just that it was such an adjustment.
An adjustment, yeah.
And I used to tell Ray, Ray, I didn't mind working with you, but I just didn't realize this was going to be a 24-hour business. And it was just an adjustment on everybody's part, and you just had to
get used to it.
Get used to it, right.
All right. The question is, did you experience conflict between being feminine and being a military professional? Well, since you weren't a military professional, there was no conflict. And the next question also about getting benefits from the GI Bill is not applicable. You have just rather expressed one of the answers to the question that is next, is what demanded the greatest adjustment?
It was all just a big adventure, as far as I was concerned. It was a big, delightful adventure.
And you had a good relationship, I'm sure, with the military. So
yes, we did. They
it
were
was just
your very
lack of privacy that
they were just very friendly and just very charming. And it was you just had a great deal of respect for them because they showed so much heart to one another.
That's an interesting thing, and I've often wondered how, in what way the army occupation forces, what the quality was as different from those who were fighting the war in the previous decade, and I'm sure the atmosphere must have been totally, totally different, and to have their families there and children there made it much more like a small town.
Really, it did.
All right, now let's see. What did you do after your service was concluded?
After my service there was concluded, I came home. And I was home then for 2 years. And then I got a job with the Navy in Japan, and so I was in Yokosuka, and that again was just a totally different experience, just a great adventure.
When was this?
This was then from 1960 to 1961, and again we lived in a BOQ, and my school was probably 8 miles out around the peninsula. To a little housing settlement that had been turned over to the Army from the Air Force. And that in itself was just a grand experience because every day you would get to see the people in their fields. You got a beautiful picture of Japanese life. And
this was country life.
This
too.
Was country life.
And you were fighting. In what place was this?
Yokosuka.
Yokosuka, it was on the island of Honshu?
Right, it was on the island of Honshu and on the Bay of Japan. And it was a little south of Yokohama and also Tokyo.
And you were serving the Air Force?
No,
this
was
Navy.
With the
this
Navy.
The Navy.
Right.
Right.
So on our way out to school, some mornings, we could see Mount Fuji. And of course, this was breathtaking. And it was just a fantastic experience of all the different scenes I've seen in my life. I think it still stands out as the most beautiful. And of course, the fact that you could maybe only see it once or twice a month added to the fascination.
And what did you think was different about the way the Japanese country people lived and worked then would be different from the way our own farmers live and work?
Well,
anything that
just
stood out?
I think with the Japanese people, it was just their constant movement and their energy level was just amazing. And the fact that they worked so very hard and the women worked right along with the men, and you would see the women out building the roads along with the men, and of course they would be elderly women. And this course was new to me. And then It was more like a gardening than it was a farming. We never did actually see the large farm situation that we have here in the United States, but they did have three or four crops a year on the same little plot of ground.
Very intensive farming.
Yes, and of course they, as in Europe, did fertilize with human manure, and they would of course gather this in there and then distribute it out on the fields. And that was interesting.
Was there a
Then,
faint aroma of that you?
Japan just had its own aromas. You just, I
Was
don't really remember the aroma of the fields. I do remember, while I was there, I did a lot of volunteer work, and I did,
Where did you volunteer?
I went over to what would be equivalent to our Annapolis or West Point, and we taught English conversation to the boys that were from about 18 to 21,
Japanese boys.
Japanese boys. And that was an interesting experience because they were not only from Honshu, they were from all over Japan. They were extremely polite, and it was,
Probably very bright, too.
yes, and just a marvelous experience. And then on Saturday, I would go into the Japanese schools and teach English. And I remember I taught them the song Bingo. Had a dog, B-I-N-G-O, his name was Bingo, and you would clap, leave out a letter and clap.
Oh, yes,
It
I
was a
see.
lot of repetition, and so they could get it, and they liked the rhyming. And so then I taught them Coming Round the Mountain, and that had a lot of repetition, and they picked it up. And it was interesting because months later they were still singing these
Coming
songs.
round the mountain.
Yeah, she'll
Wonderful.
be coming round the mountain when she comes. And so that was just a very fascinating experience, and they were very, very anxious to learn English. And then too, we had an association with the Japanese teachers and went on several field trips with them, which was just a lot of fun. I remember the one day we went out to some favorite spot, and coming back, we stopped and had lunch, which was cold fish.
It wasn't at least cooked.
It was cooked, right, but it was quite an experience. And I'm a easy person to please when it comes to food, and not the least bit timid. So it was all just very, very marvelous experience.
Very good. I hadn't realized that you had been in Japan too, as well as
Yes.
in Europe.
And there too, you had a variety of children. You had, I think, probably most outstanding from that particular class was, seems like it was a second, third grade class. And I had two children, Akimi and Kazumi, whose parents, whose father was an American Navy officer, and the mother was from Okinawa. The children had been left on Okinawa, and so when I got them, they spoke no English at all. And so again, it was the starting at lunchtime, and you would have to take their little Japanese dictionaries and start with basic words and build up a vocabulary. So they were able to read about second grade or third grade when I finished with them that year.
That was
We
marvelous.
had
How did you do this? With just repetition and pointing to objects, or you begin with
we
the
began
Japanese
with
word?
that. I have done this two or three times. We did it a couple years ago with a little girl that was from Korea that didn't even know the American alphabet. And we just started with a book of pictures, a picture dictionary. And then you, when they build up a picture of vocabulary, then you start with your first grade words, I mean, your first grade books and so on. So, but anyway, I did take Akimi and Kazumi at lunchtime. And we had English lessons, and they were just most charming, beautiful children.
I can imagine. Did
Yes,
they have Japanese
they were.
eyes, or was it American eyes? I've
They
often
didn't
wondered.
look like a full-blooded Japanese, but they were very beautiful children.
Children, very
Uh-huh. No,
frequently
they
that's true.
No, they just stayed with their grandparents, and the mother and father left them with their grandparents for about 8 years, and then when they came back to Japan, they had a little sister with them, and they picked the two children up, and then they started them in our school there in Japan. Then I had two other children that had spent their whole life in Japan, and
American children?
American children, and the one, of course. She would go out with us and be the interpreter when we went on field trips. And the Japanese were always surprised. They'd say, "She sounds Japanese." And of course she did. And the other, and they spoke absolute fluent Japanese because they had been reared by Japanese nurses. So, and they had all the Japanese customs, like I was adventure. I did just try any food that came along. Well, they had a long dried squid that looked like licorice. It was black. And so the mother, one of the mothers one day that had gone on a field trip said, "You really should try it." And I did, and it just wouldn't go down. It was one of the few things. But now this other little blonde-haired girl that had been raised in Japan, they ate that all the time like it was candy. So
It's what you're used to.
it was a very interesting, a totally different and a very interesting experience. I had I think one of the other things that was quite remarkable about the Japanese was even to the last child, they seemed to be artistic, and they had so much art in their school, and they all learned the art of paper folding. They could do that, and they learned flower arranging. They all learned to juggle little bean bags at a very early age, and so they had just really a lot of talent. And then they did go to school 6 days a week, 11 months a year, which to me was quite interesting.
Wow, what kind of a schedule was your school on in Japan?
Our
Standard.
schedule was a standard American schedule. We had the standard American books, and it was just like you had transported an American school over to Japan, which is in essence is what it was.
And how many teachers did you have there, and how many pupils?
In our school, we had four teachers. And it was just a lot of fun. There were two older teachers and
How
two
many
younger
kids
ones,
were there?
probably about 150. And there was one man. There were five then, I guess. And that was this one little school in this housing compound. Now back on the base, they had a high school and another elementary school.
So you were just an isolated elementary
We were
school on
an
the base.
isolated elementary school, but I chose to go out there simply because I would get to see more of the countryside.
Countryside, yes.
It was
That was a
fascinating.
that sounds quite fascinating.
It was.
Were you able to visit any of the special cities and shrines in Japan while you were
Yes,
there?
and we did. We went to Tokyo often. We went to Kyoto, Kamakura. At Christmas time, we took a trip down to Singapore and China, and we were in Vietnam before the war, and we were in Bangkok.
You really did make use of your time there. How
Oh, yeah.
long were you in
In
Japan
Japan,
in total?
I was there from August of 60 to June of 61.
June 61. Very good. You did a great deal in that time.
Yes, I really
Now,
did. It was a fascinating year. It really was.
is that the end of your adventures, or did you go
That was
elsewhere? That was
it.
it.
Yeah, that was it.
All right. Then you came back to the United States and came
Came
back to
back to the United
Louisville.
States, came back to Louisville, got a job in Jefferson County because that was the one job that was open.
Good reason.
And so I've been here ever since.
And you are now principal.
I'm now principal at Bates Elementary out in Fern Creek, 40291.
Yes, I know it well.
Yes.
And it's a good school.
Yes, it's a lovely school.
And we're very glad that you talked to us on this night, and we thank you very much. And well, that concludes our interview, unless someone else has a question they'd like to ask Margaret. And in which case, speak up, because this little microphone may will need to pick up your voice.
No.
Jenny?
I have a question. I think I answered several times.
Jean? Virginia?
I didn't get enough of it. There'll be enough of the whole thing to ask.
Right, all right. Well, I think we...
If you were... I think I asked you this earlier. You get option privileges. You were free.
Yes, we did. Yes, we were in both instances.
Yeah.
Good.
You didn't have to wear any uniform or anything?
No, we wore no uniform. There was no restriction on any of our travel.
And did you have to wear some kind of an identification badge? I'm sure it
had an there must have been something on the car. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was something on the car, and I'm sure that we must have had an identification badge of some time. We
Very
did use the script. We used the Army script money, both in France and in Japan.
In Italy, too?
Right,
yeah.
We did.
Very good.
Now, America, the United States is a marvelous job.
Yes.
Was that a question? Yes, all right. What did...
I think there was an actual love for the Americans in Japan. I felt that. We had the one chaplain that came by one day and talked to us, and he had gone in... to this particular base where we were, to Yokosuka, right after the war, when the people were starving. And he said at one time that he had gone in and scooped up just eggs and rice and things of that type and taken them out to a family that was literally starving. And he had come back there then as a missionary. He was quite interesting to hear. But... I think the Americans were loved in Japan. They seemed to just have a lot of camaraderie, I think, between them. And we were always treated just beautifully by the Japanese. We went on a ski trip with the Japanese ladies and the Japanese men one weekend, and they were just marvelous to us. But on the other hand, they're a very polite people.
So,
but I did get the feeling that they had a genuine admiration for Americans.
And I think the reason for their positive attitude toward us was that they knew that we were not there to absorb them. We were there to
right.
help them rebuild,
that's right.
To stand on their own feet and be Japanese again.
Mm-hmm.
That we were not there to occupy them.
Right. I think they truly felt that.
I suspect it was a great surprise to them, because I have a feeling that perhaps they would not have been as generous to us.
I believe so. I am sure they were very confident of that.
Right.
Because I think their attitude toward us, anyway, the military, the people who did do us down and try to do us down, they certainly not that confident.
Yeah. Thank you, Margaret, very much.